The church is supposed to be an example of the Holy Ghost dove. But if you minus the Holy Ghost, the dove becomes silly dove. And doesn't quite behave the way the church should be. So that people look at the church also, they laugh. The world looks at the church, the world looks at evangelists, the world looks at all this. Sometimes the tele-evangelists, and the world laughs. Don't we look silly in the eyes of the world? When we don't walk in the Spirit, when we don't follow the laws and the commandments of the Lord, the world laughs at the church. Sometimes I myself, when I see some of these preachers, and they're doing things that I feel are not ethical, I think, oh my, they're causing us to be the laughing stock. It's sad. And then we realize that that's a picture of the Laodicean church age, where the church calls to Egypt. They go to Assyria. They go to Egypt. That's Laodicean church age. The world has got into the church. But it's not the end yet. Chapter 8 to chapter 10. God begins to talk about His judgment, His cleansing that takes place. Now I focus more on the church than on the nation of Israel, because you can also interpret it there, because it applies directly to us. In chapter 8, verse 9, "For they gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey alone by itself. Ephraim has hard lovers." Verse 11, "Because Ephraim has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they will consider a strange thing." The law of God is considered a strange thing. "For the sacrifices of my offerings to sacrifice flesh and eat it. But the Lord does not accept them. Now He remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt." That's Laodicean church age again. Chapter 9, verse 3, "They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt and shall eat unclean things in Assyria." Then begins a restoration. Verse 8, "The watchman of Ephraim is with my God, but the prophet is a fowler's snare in all his ways, an enmity in the house of his God." You read one of the New Testament scriptures, tells you, Peter, the judgment must begin in the house of God. It's already begun, my friends. Verse 11 and 13, As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. See, there's no fruitfulness. Verse 13, "Just as I saw Ephraim like Tyre planted in a pleasant place, so Ephraim will bring out his children to the murderer." There's dryness, the barrenness of the womb represents fruitlessness. All these things. If you trace the history of the church and study the seven church ages, you see how the church age went from X, it goes downhill to the dark ages. And it's only from the Reformation period, which is only a few hundred years ago, that the church started slowly to come forth. And then we go to chapter 10 as we focus on finally it says in verse 11, this is the conclusion for the church at the restoration. Well, let's read verse 6 first. "The idol also shall be carried to Assyria as a present for King Jared. Ephraim shall receive shame. Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel." Verse 11, after that shame period, Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh grain. "But I harness her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clods." Now verse 11 is an important prophecy. The church will be harnessed and streamlined. At the same time, Judah and Israel will also come into streamline. This is predicted by Paul in Romans 9. Look at Romans 9. Romans 9. Paul says here, in speaking about the church age, let's read first in chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumble at the stumbling stone, as is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. That stone represents Jesus. Whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Now in chapter 11, it says here, talking about us Gentiles, verse 13 to 15, For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, Paul said. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, that is his Jewish people, and save some of them. Verse 15, If they are being cast away, as the Jews were rejected, is the reconciling of the world. What will their entrance be? But life from the dead. Do you notice that a powerful prophecy, phrased like a question? When the Jews were rejected, the Gentiles were accepted. Sometimes our logic operates in reverse gear, where we think that when the Gentiles are rejected, then the Jews are accepted. It reverses itself. Paul says it doesn't work that way. Paul says that it works more on the uphill. It doesn't just reverse and cross. It says, when the Jews are rejected, the Gentiles were accepted. Then when the Jews are accepted, the Gentiles will be caught up. They will be raised from the dead. What shall the Jewish acceptance be, he says, but life from the dead, resurrection power, even greater power manifests. And here, in chapter 10, looking at that prophecy that is made in the book of Hosea, Chapter 10 verse 11. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh grain by harness her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clods. Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. It's a time of great restoration. That is why, brethren, the charismatic revival, and do you know that our revival in the 20th century happened at the same time as the restoration of Israel? In 1948, Israel became a nation. During that struggle, the church was also struggling. And when Israel was restored in 1948, in the 1950s, God launched forth the beginning of the last wave. In 1950s, we see the launching forth of different miracle workers, the decade of the evangelists. In 1960s, the decade of the pastors. In 1970, the decade of the teachers. In 1980s, the decade of the prophets. In 1990s, the decade of the apostles. And we begin to see like a last wave coming forth. Now within it is also sub waves like charismatic wave, word movement, and all these kind of things flowing, and worship movement, all these things coming in. And we see that even now, as we're in the 90s, we see still a flow over of the prophetic move. There's always a flow over, because that wave carries into this wave, and that wave has already begun. And it all started from the restoration of the nation of Israel. And every time you see Israel gets back that blessing that God predicts for them, there is always an enlargement on the church side. Somehow, the destiny of the church is tied with the nation of Israel. It has been tied all along the way in the Bible. In chapter 11, right to 14, in chapters, we said 12, we got two more. Chapter 11 to 14, must have been thinking on Daniel. Chapter 11, right to 14 is the last section that God demonstrates His love. And here we will look at the fourfold restoration that will take place. Fourfold. Number one, in chapter 11, was it will happen to Israel, it will happen to the church. When Israel was a child, did you notice he talked about Israel, then he talked about Ephraim? Because it's a twofold prophecy flowing forth. When Israel was a child, I love him. And out of Egypt, I call my son. There's a calling forth. Then verse 3. At the same time that God was calling Israel, and Israel coming to be a nation, in verse 3, the church taught to walk. I taught Ephraim to walk, leading them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle currents of love, and I was to them as those who I stooped and fed them. Verse 8, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Edma? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy or His compassion is stirred. God stirs. This is the Old Testament God. He is God of love. God of love. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst. And I will come with terror. That's the first thing that will happen. There will be a calling out. There will be aspiration. Just like Israel was called out a nation, in the same way there will be a calling out on the church. In chapter 12, verse 9, but I am the Lord, your God, ever sent of Egypt. I will again make you dwell tents, as in the days of the appointed feasts. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Now 9 and 10 refer back possibly to the nation of Israel, although they are not mentioned. There will be a gathering together back. There is a calling out and there is a gathering together of the Israelites. And at the same time, verse 8 takes place. Ephraim said, surely I become rich. I found out for myself. In all my labors, they shall find me no iniquity. That is sin. Isn't it strange that last church age also talks about this kind of Revelation chapter 3? Look at Revelation chapter 3. The last church age. Verse 17. Said, I am rich and have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched. In other words, they had a material prosperity, but they didn't have a real spiritual prosperity. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Notice the last church is also talked about riches. And God wants that not only material prosperity, God wants spiritual prosperity in our lives. And that is why in chapter 12 verse 8, at the same time as the restoration of Israel, back to their tents, Ephraim says, I'm rich. Laodicean church age. Chapter 13, so the second way we see is a gathering. There will be a gathering together of the Israelites. There will be a gathering together of believers all over the world.